Hi, good morning. It's Saturday morning. Thank you for listening to Chillin' with Chick. I'm Chick. I'm just sitting here having my coffee and going through my morning. I was wanting to make a podcast yesterday, but there's just so much stuff that I want to talk about, so I thought I'd wait till today because it's a beautiful day out. Sometimes all we need is to get everything right in our head by having a good night's rest and taking care of our soul, you know, as well as our mind, our body, everything else. Yeah, as I'm sitting here smoking a fucking cigarette and drinking, chugging back huge amounts of caffeine, right? No, I don't want to sound like I'm preaching or anything, but this is what helps me to relax. So there's so much I wanted to talk about. I was wanting to clear up the misconception that I put out there. I fucking meant to say I was a paranormal investigator, not a private investigator. I never was one, never. I'd love to be one, but I've never, ever been a private investigator. But a paranormal investigator, yes, I have been. I wanted to talk a little today about, without, again, sounding preachy, you know, touch base on a few different things. For example, the one thing I wanted to talk about was how rampant racism is. And I know that, you know, people will experience different things. That's one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to offend people. I don't want to hurt them at all, you know. And we've come to that point, you know, what I'm finding anyways, we come to that point in life where I just can't hear racist slurs. I just can't. It upsets me. It's not so much as the person who's saying it, but just the fact that it still is happening. When people start to realize that the medicine wheel, there's like all those colors on there for a reason. You know, black, red, yellow, white. It's all on there for a reason. Green, don't matter what it is. All of the colors belong on that medicine wheel. And so I think it hurts. I think what's happening is it's almost like when I hear racial slurs, it's like I think I take it personally. and it's because I don't want to hear that anymore. It's like I'm rejecting that way of thinking when when you start to realize just how rampant racism is, it's like, holy shit. And it comes right down to it. All it is, racism is used as a tool. It's been here for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And it's just gone on too long. Everybody just needs to realize that it's being used as a tool. And it's not. Like, we shouldn't be racist with each other. We shouldn't still live in that mindset that, yeah, well, they used to, you know, say it whenever. It's like, no. And I see it and I hear it everywhere, even on shows, you know, even movies, songs, you know, people. It just, there's no need for it. There's no use for it. Spiritually, people should be up at that level now where if you are cringing when you hear a racist slur, it's because your spiritual growth has gone to that point where it's rejecting hearing those racial slurs, those racial terms, it's made to cause division. We can't be divided, man. Not during these times. Shit. We're going through COVID where this is the first time fucking people have had to be locked into their house other than the Spanish flu and all, you know, the influenzas. This one is different. This one is like no other. You were born during this time for a reason, and it sure the fuck isn't to be racist. I'll tell you that much. And, you know, we have to realize that everyone is a spiritual being. Everyone is connected, you know, as much as, and those racists that are listening, if there's racists listening, I know it's probably a little bit too much for you to fucking handle to hear that you're, you know, connected to someone that you've been sitting there hating on because the color of their skin, don't matter. You're red. Your blood is red like everyone else's blood is red, right? And I need to get that point out there. Without sounding preachy, of course. But I fucking love you still. Whether you're racist or not, I still love you. Realize this earth, there's only one earth. And that brings me down to, you know, that will bring me, knowing that and realizing that we come to a time where, you know, our earth is fighting back and finally, you know, clearing up the waters and the skies. I'm reminded that everyone is the same. Right now you're alive during this time for a reason, right? Your ancestors, your grandmothers and grandfathers and great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers didn't go through all that fucking shit years ago so that you could sit back and watch the world crumble. Are you kidding me? So that we can sit back and watch the waters get poisoned, watch the earth be fucking cut up and thrown and the trees to be fucking burnt down. Oh, hell no. They didn't pray for us to sit back and let everything like that happen. No. They were praying for us so that people can have that realization that, holy shit, we need to get back to the basics of things. You know, live off the land, get your hands in there, start planting fucking seeds. You've got grandchildren, great-grandchildren, maybe not yet, but you're going to. Well, it depends on how this world realizes, but she's fighting back, I'll tell you that much. That's why things are starting to get clear. And, you know, you look at yourself as a warrior at this time. People need to realize that they're warriors inside. You have the same blood, the warrior blood, as your ancestors did years ago, you know. God has his army now, strengthening them up. Because whatever this is that we're going to be facing, and I know it's, you know, I see it, that there's no balance in the world, right? People getting murdered and everything because the color of their skin or who they are or anything like that. The balance is off. All those people that died for protecting Mother Earth or protecting their beliefs or just wanting to, whatever the reasons why, it don't matter. The balance is off. And people need to start realizing that the only thing that we can do is, you know, try to be good to ourselves, do good to Earth, everything. And I don't want to fucking sound preachy. How do you explain this without sounding preachy? That's the thing. It's such a conundrum. I think I used that word right. I don't know, but I wanted to talk to you about water, the importance of water, why it's important. You know, water is very, very, very powerful. I've already explained that. But you know, when water doesn't want you, it spits you out. It spits you out to safety. That's how alive water is. Water is a freaking one of the most powerful spiritual conduits because it holds memory. It's the same water that you're drinking, that your ancestors drank from, that they prayed in. That water carries the prayers of our ancestors. And that's important to remember, right? Your ancestors prayed for you. They prayed for Earth. They didn't have the fucking factories way back in the day. They didn't have, you know, none of this, as much as this shit that we have now that's polluting and killing everything. They didn't have that back in the day. But you know what? If they were praying for their children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren and future generations, it's because they knew how powerful water was and they knew that the water was going to take their prayers and hold on to it. And just those prayers are cycled just as water is cycled, just as there's cycles in the moon, you know. Everything gets recycled. And all we're doing is polluting her. And, you know, you can't drink oil. And that's my stand on that. And I know I'm probably going to piss off a lot of people, but hey, life is short, very short. And, you know, there needs to be more. Mother Earth needs her warriors out there to be heard, to stand up for her. But peacefully, you know, It needs to be done peacefully. People need to put their tools down, their weapons down. It needs to be done peacefully, and that's why we have to pray for peace. We're coming into some pretty troubled times. And though it seems like everything is calming down because everyone's caught in their house, stuck in their house with COVID, remember, it's always the calm before the storm. But not to fear it either. Because no matter what, you know, God gives that free will. And as long as you're respecting the fact that Mother Earth has finally reached out, you know, it's going down that path. And don't be scared to pray. You know, people need to, that's what I do with prayer. That's what I wanted to talk with prayer. See, I wasn't really as spiritual as I was before, as I am now. And that's because I've added prayer to my life. As, like, I pray all the time. People might not hear it, but I'm doing it in my head, not just at night before I go to bed, not just in the morning before I, you know, while I wake up. No. I pray all the time, right? Because when God opens your eyes in the morning, bam, you'd be grateful that he gave you another day to open your eyes. And that's the significance of my dystonia, I believe, big time, what I needed to be taught. Well, one of the most biggest lessons was, and still is, are my eyes going to open today? And that's with the blepharospasm, right? And you're damn right. And I took that as a teaching. I finally got it. Sorry, I hit the table. If you could see me talking, my hands kind of go everywhere. But I took that as a teaching. You know, God opens my eyes every day. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. Because it's not just, hey, open your eyes and carry on with your day. No. He gave you another day. Because as he gives, he can take just like that too. But, you know, I don't fear anyone, but I fear God, but I love him just as much as I fear him. I love him because he has brought me this far for a reason, and absolutely he exists. When I, you know, I can sit back and look at all the teachings and all the stuff that's happened throughout my life, you bet he exists. How can I deny it? You know, I can't. There's another power, a higher power, you know, and again, like I've said, there's only one creator. There's only one God. You can call him whatever you want. You can call him whatever you want, but there's only one. And everything else you honor. You don't worship. You worship God, but you honor everything else. And that's, you know, that's my firm belief in it. And there's been a lot of teachings that have kind of gone on the wayside. But, you know, I respect each individual's spiritualism. Whatever their belief system is, that's fine. Who am I to, you know, judge anyone because they want to, you know, they have their beliefs. The best I can do is God, like it's said, you know, you have to plant the seed. He does the rest. And everyone's on their spiritual journey for a reason. I'm not the only one that's on a spiritual journey. There's so many people are on their spiritual journey, right? I'm mindful of that. People are like pregnant fish, and I totally believe in that. People are like pregnant fish, right? So the other thing, too, that I'm finding is being very observant of this red road path that I'm on, because I'm on the red road. And if nobody knows what the red road is, there's 7 traits to being on the red road. That's love, respect, courage, honesty, wisdom, humility, and truth. With each of those come the animal teachings, right? So love is the eagle, respect is the buffalo, courage is the bear, honesty is the Sasquatch, wisdom is the beaver, humility is the wolf, and truth is the turtle. Isn't that funny, eh? We live on Turtle Island and truth is the turtle. But we live here with the biggest misconception, the biggest lie ever that needs to be brought out. The turtle on Turtle Island, hey? Which is truth. And that there's more racism in this, on this world than what we realize. Even by people we think we're supposed to trust the most, you know? That's where it stems from, because it's being used as a tool. I've been doing a lot of songwriting too lately, a lot of writing. I don't know if you want to call them song, but just doing like poetry, songs, throwing stuff together. And I'm noticing that my writing is changing. And I know that also comes from spiritual growth as well too. But it's one of those things that, you know, you didn't realize you had that talent until all of a sudden. And so I wouldn't even say that it's talent. More so as it was a hidden, it was like a hidden gift that I didn't realize I had until I unlocked it a couple years ago when I was ready for it, I guess. I didn't even know I lost it. I didn't even know I had it. And then all of a sudden, boom, all this word vomit started coming up on paper. And I was just blown away by it. But I have a little journal here that I write my thoughts into, that when I want to remember something, you know, I write it down. But going back to the Red Road, I was told, and all my teachings that I get are from other people, from elders, from, you know, even people that I talk to that aren't elders, that whatever, even kids. I get my teachings from my grandchildren, from other people's children. That's why I like being around everyone, because everyone has a teaching to give. You may not realize it until all of a sudden, boom, or you might realize it. Might be that's the cool thing about being a spiritual person, is when you do realize it's a teaching, it's just right there in your face, you know? Like, for example, the fish teaching came to me. I realized how important that was, that, you know, and I thought at first, well, that's for another person. Until all of a sudden I started realizing, wait a minute, that's not for another person. That like, who am I to think that I was the teacher? That I was a student that day too, just as much. You know? I was a student that day. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a teacher, because I don't regard myself as a teacher, but when I get caught up in some of my things, I miss the most important teaching, and that's to be a student sometimes, you know, and acknowledging that and just being grateful that I'm still here to learn. I'm still here to get those teachings from other people. It's all about baby steps. You know, I was told that when Creator has blessings all the time, you need to be grateful and thank Him for those blessings. Every day I get up, every day I'm grateful for, you know, the fact I got a roof overhead, the fact that I have grandchildren, 4 of them. You know, I didn't have grandsons 6 years ago, but I had them 5 years ago. You know, that's when it started. And that's, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for my children. I'm so grateful that I've got food in my cupboards and my fridge, because people cared enough, you know, to realize that in itself is like, I'm grateful for that food when I eat it. I'm grateful when I step out my door and I can smell that clean air. I'm grateful that when I step down on the grass, that grass is there for me to enjoy if I want to lay on it. Just got to make sure I got my yard bombs picked up. Otherwise, man, my dog. It's one thing I don't like doing is cleaning up dog shit, but it has to be picked up. I'm grateful for everything. My friends, my family. Sometimes when I'm not, you know, when I'm not realizing that the people I need the most are the people, the ones that I shut out, the people are, they're the ones that I shut out. And I'm guilty of that. If I've had it with someone's shit, bam. I get selfish and I just, no, I don't want to see them again. I don't want to talk to them again. I boom, 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 boom. And I'm trying to get out of that. And I see why I do it. I know why I do it. But, you know, they're there to teach me the biggest lessons, are the ones that I shut out. Just when I think I don't want to deal with them anymore or anything, God gives me that great teaching of them, that everyone has a purpose in my life. That's where, bam, our greatest teachings come from people that have hurt us the most. And it's up to me to try to work through it and to see what that teaching is from them. And when He gives you gifts, You have to savor those gifts. And that came from an elder. These things come from an elder, someone who has walked the road for a long time, and he knows. That's why I respect elders. And it don't matter what color of skin they are. Everyone's an elder, and you have to respect your elders, man. They know more. They're wiser. They know more. I met this lady when I was in the hospital. Beautiful, beautiful woman. She was in her 70s, but let me tell you, 70s or 80s, I don't know. I didn't want to ask her because I didn't want to seem disrespectful. But I asked her, all she wanted to do was someone to listen to her because she felt like she wasn't being listened to. Well, I know that because that's how I felt. So it was kind of weird how God kind of partnered us up because, you know, I didn't know she was there until all of a sudden she caught my eye. And she came out of her room. And it was like, boom. When I looked at her, there was a light right above her from the ceiling. And that's how God works with me, right? Bing, I got to go talk to this lady. And I did. I got up and I just, out of the blue, asked her how she was doing, talked to her, sat down with her, tried to spend as much time with her as possible. I validated her. All she wanted was validation that someone was going to listen to her. And I did. I even got her to write down her everything she wanted to talk about. And they were great teachings, you know. They were great teachings. A lot of personal stuff I'm not going to get into because that's her. But, you know, she taught me the value of a dog. You know, the story about when, you know, when Jesus, I see, and I think that Jesus was a great medicine man. But she taught me, she taught me an important thing about Jesus. That's the thing. When you think you're walking alone, you know, no, God gave us dogs. And that's where Jesus came and pointed that out, you know. And how we treat our dogs, how we treat our animals, that's important too. You remember, animals have 4 feet on the ground for a reason. Animals have 4 feet on the ground for a reason. We only have two. We don't have wings to fly. And that's for a reason too. You know? We get our best teachings from animals and we don't even realize it. Look at the animals. They only take what they need and they're on their way. You don't see birds, you know, feeding themselves to the point where they explode. You know, you don't see dogs. You know, some dogs will just gobble everything up, of course, you know, but look at dogs. Look at how kind they are when they're first born. I know my dog brings me a lot of healing strength, she calms me. She relaxes me. I've gone through, you know, when I go through my hard times, if I'm going through a crisis moment, bam, my dog's there because she knows. When it must be something in my cry that she feels because every time I've felt the most hurt or the most distraught, that's when she comes to my aid. You know, she just wants to love me and soothe me. Just as much as I try to love her and soothe her, because dogs are absolutely, I don't know, my dog is a gift. That's how I look at my Khaleesi. She's a gift to me. And so when God gives you these gifts, you know, you savor it. You savor these gifts. These are blessings. Everyone is blessed. You know, I've got personal experiences I can talk about because I've lived them for a reason. And I know it's not to just keep it inside. Like I've said before, everyone is like a library book. Once you're gone, that library book is gone too forever. You know, we've got elders everywhere. All they want to do is just be heard, validated, you know. All you got to do is take time with reading that book. Just listen. You're not just there to read the book. You're there to listen to what the words have to say because each book is unique. Each story is unique. Each person is valuable because of their stories that they carry. Because there's teachings in those stories. You have to nurture yourself too when you're on the red road. That means you eat good food, get out in nature as much as possible. And I know that's going to sound preachy because I haven't been out as much as I wanted to, but I will be, trust me. And that came from the elder too, who was teaching me about the red road path, red road journey. You're eating good food, you're out with Mother Nature, get out there, touch the water. When you come to water, you face the north and you thank that water, because that water is holding our ancestors' prayers. So you thank that water. That's going to mean more to someone, you know, especially if water just about took a life, or especially if, you know, whatever the case may be. My culture teaches me to smudge and pray because sage is the most powerful. Sage can kill bacteria in your house. It gets rid of all the negative energy. It gets rid of all of that negativity and it keeps it out. So I believe in smudging and praying. You know, you got to smudge and pray. But spend most of the time outside. And happiness, laughter is the most powerful, one of the most powerful medicines that there is. Laughter, happiness. And I'm reminding myself that. I'm not telling people that. I'm reminding myself these things too. These are given to me for a reason. I'm forgetting what the red road is about sometimes when I get caught up in my own troubles. I get caught up in what's going on around me more so than what I need to realize, that my teachings are what is what's going to help me get through of all the diversity that's out there with my problems, with what I see, with, you know, maybe trying to help others, you know. I mean, why not? You might not think you're helping someone until all of a sudden, boom, they come up to you one day out of the blue and say, hey man, fuck, thank you so much for doing that. I didn't fucking realize, and this is what this blah, 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 blah. It's like, that's awesome. Family is important. Family and friends. I'm not going to talk too much about friends right now because they're still my biggest teachings. I'm still trying to get things sorted in my head. And that'll come with time. But I love every single one of them. You know? I even love strangers on the street. It's not a weird thing, but it just, surprisingly, that's what it's all about, is love. Don't get caught up in that whole fucking, you know, hippie love. There's more to hippie love than what a lot of people, oh, you're just a hippie. No, 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 no. I look at hippies as spiritualists. They were on an entire different level for a reason. But I wanted to talk too a lot about, you know, what's going on. What's going on in the world right now is, you know, God doesn't give you problems more than what you can handle. There's a lot of people out there who have fallen into dark days, dark times. And we got to get out there and reach to them, to tell them what, you know, they're here for a reason. God's made you strong and powerful for a reason. These are warrior times, man. Everyone's a warrior. Warriors are the most peaceful. It's not about fighting. It's about standing stone cold, facing your problems peacefully. You don't lash out with violence. You don't lash out, you know, with violent words. You don't try to hurt people, and I'm telling myself that as a reminder, because I sometimes forget that, you know, and I'm my own worst critic, man, big time. But it's interesting because when I look at prayer, a lot of people think, oh, that's just religious, and it's no. Praying isn't religious. Praying is spiritual. Praying is keeping that that conversation with God all the time. You want to keep that conversation with Him open all the time because things change all the time. And trust me, don't think He's not listening. Just, you know, if sometimes people think, oh, He doesn't answer my prayers. No, sometimes unanswered prayers are the answers. And sometimes answered prayers aren't the answer. You know, you'll find out in your time, but our ancestors, they knew it. They knew exactly. Look at how freaking they lived off the land, man. They knew what it was. They were the smart ones. They didn't have TVs to distract them or radios to distract them. They didn't have, you know, factories billowing out black smoke to pollute the air and making smog. They didn't have factories putting poison in the waters and killing off fish. They knew what it, you know, they were living the life. They were living off the land. And that's what the whole point of this is. People need to get back to the simplest and the basic of things. That's why I don't have a TV, and I don't want a TV unless it's to play movies. And even then, I don't even know if I want to get a TV. I don't even know if I want a TV. I don't even think I want a radio. You know, at one point I did want a radio, and now it's like, no, I don't want neither. You know, I'll listen to my music that I have. I've got the option of downloading it onto my phone. And I'm not saying, you know, don't buy. I'm just saying that's what this time is. I've chosen the spiritual path, not the material path. You know? And I have to try to remember that. Because let me tell you what, it's hard. Coming from a woman who, you know, I used to do my nails, get myself all frou-frou up. And it's important that too, for that to happen. It's important. I know what makeup does for me because I wear makeup. I wear a fucking shitload of it, man. I just like fucking shovel that shit on like there's no tomorrow. I don't give a shit. But makeup makes me feel good on the outside because sometimes, and I'm always looking on the inside, sometimes my outside needs work too. And I mean that in a way of helping me change my mindset, because sometimes I allow the outside world to penetrate my diamond skin. Our skin is supposed to protect us. That's our armor. And sometimes that diamond, we're supposed to be hard as diamonds. As hard as a triceratops skin, right? We let things get to us twofold, and we shouldn't. But every once in a while, it's really nice to pick up my blush brush and just kind of like make myself pretty, right? Don't let what others put at you make you feel that way. Once you do that, that's what gets you down. We shouldn't worry about that. Because flat blank, I give a flying fuck what other people think about me. It's not my business. People can think what they want about me, whatever they want. It's not my business. It's not my business. I don't care. But sometimes when you're a spiritual person, it happens where you realize, oh my God, that's what they think of me. I shouldn't let it bother me. That's the whole beauty about being a spiritualist. When you get that teaching, when it finally comes to you, and sometimes it has to come to you a few times, I'm reminded of the fact, it's none of my business what people think of me. My business is with God. That's who I worry about. Making sure that my relationship with God is far more powerful than anything that fucking anyone can throw at me. My relationship with God is far more powerful than what anyone tries to make me think or do to me. You know, don't let people break you down. Don't let that outside world fucking break you down to the point where you get caught up in your own problems, because it's none of your business what other people think about you. And if that's how they think about you, then hey, that's okay. You know how you feel inside. You know how you are as a person on the outside. And if people want to feel whatever they want to feel about you, you know, you might want to take a little bit of ownership with that. Like, you know, I feel responsible sometimes for how people think of me in that sort of you know, that sort of mind frame. What did I do to them? And that's where I go a little bit deeper with myself. What did I do to them for them to fucking have to think like that about me? But then I'm reminded, who fucking cares what they think about you? Just fix it or try to heal it, right? Try to change it so that people don't think that way about you. Sometimes you can't do it. Sometimes you can't do it. Sometimes you can't change things. So you just accept it. Ask God to change it for you. And that's what I've been doing. Doing a lot of soul searching. Doing a lot of inner balancing. A lot of inner balancing. I can't control what other people do, what other people think of me, because it's none of my fucking business. I can control what I say, what I do. I can control all that. Sorry, I'm just fucking, I'm needing some sustenance, some yogurt. But yeah, you know, getting back to the Red Road journey, it's I'm not gonna lie, it's as much as it seems like it's the easiest path, because it is, it's easy once you make that decision to do it, it's easy to keep going back to it. When you get off the path, you don't dwell on the bad shit, because that's what's going to get you down. That's what's going to keep you off your path longer. You have to get back up off that fucking, that dark road that you were on. You get back on the red road. You get back on it fast. Remind yourself why you started this red road journey in the first place. I know why I started it. I have 4 beautiful grandsons. I'm reminded. I miss those little buggers. Man, do I miss them so much. That's one thing I don't like about this COVID, is how it's isolated all of us. You know? But in all fairness to it, I look at the bright side of it. This COVID is allowing people to spend time with themselves, to fix themselves, to do a lot of inner searching. You know, sometimes things don't go in the direction you want it, but they're, it's like that for a reason. And that's okay. Because you get, pick yourself back up again, and you fucking, you know what your limits are. You know what you'll put up with and what you won't put up with. And a lot of mine has to do with a lot of inner healing and how I respond or react to it. I woke up the past couple of days, particularly this morning. I woke up with the most calming inner peace. I've never felt like that in a long time. I felt like that a few couple years ago, but man, this morning it was beautiful knowing that inner peace. I must have leveled up. That's the only way to explain it. Is I had to have leveled up. There was a great teaching the past couple of days, and that's why I'm not going to get into it and explain what it was, but most of the spiritualists that it happens to, or people that it happens to, know what I'm talking about. You feel this inner calmness, this inner peace, this inner strength that, you know, and it's not a grandiose idea either, that, oh, I'm going to save people. It's nothing like that, you know. It's just an inner peace knowing that I'm not letting shit get to me as much, I guess. I don't know. It's so weird. But I love it. It's like one of the most calmest feelings that I could have. I just want to throw out there, happy birthday to my little brother Randy. It was his birthday today, so I made sure to call him.
but
yeah, it's just kind of, it's kind of bizarre because my eyes kind of want to work today, but they kind of don't either. So I'm kind of battling in between how they keep open, or battling between keeping them open and closing. But I hope that my injection seems to be working, which is good. To a certain degree, of course, like with everything. But I don't want to get into my eyes. Oh wait, my puppy just came out. And the other thing I want to talk about too was how our, you know, spiritual sides, we have to be really careful too at this time and remember that everything's got to be about balance. Just as much as there's good that comes in your life, there's bad that comes in your life. But you don't dwell on the bad. It's important that you don't dwell on the bad, because if you start dwelling on the bad, that's all you're going to see is bad. That's all you're going to feel is bad. But to also be careful, because that evil will pop out of nowhere. It pops out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you're doing things that, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't mean to just dump on that person and make them feel bad or whatever. Evil is very, very, very meticulous, and it's very, very deceiving. As a spiritualist, I have to warn people just how deceiving evil can be. It can be very deceiving. It can jump. It can jump from person to person to person. It can even go into animals. And that you have to be really careful about. But just know that, you know, you're a warrior. You're here for a reason. It's all about balance. Fixing your mistakes. And if you made a mistake, try and fix it. If you can't, you know, and you ask for forgiveness. And you keep working on it. Just don't do it to another person. That's what I've learned so far anyways. Man, it's been a pretty cool past couple of years because, like I said, I've had a lot of my teachings happen the past couple of years. I even said to a friend of mine, probably about 4 years ago now, 5 years ago, am I dying? Because there's so much good stuff happening to me. I was like, am I dying, man? Like, what's going on here? And we laughed about it because he didn't have an explanation for it either. But he knew what I was talking about. We just laughed about it. I accepted everything. As you know, everyone's path is different. Everyone's journey is different throughout life. But you at least acknowledge that person going through that journey. God is one of the great mystery. And that brings me up to talking about Bigfoot, actually. And I know this is going to sound probably crazy to people, but I like to joke. It's a family thing for me to joke about Bigfoot. With my aunt, I went on a road trip last year. It was a year ago on the 29th that I lost my biological father. So exactly a year ago today, we were making plans to go to BC, and I'm so grateful for my dad I have now, because I wasn't raised by my biological father, but the man that stepped up to the plate will always be a hero in my eyes. And I love him, and I try to stay in contact with him as well. I should be in contact with, like, I should talk to him more than I do. I love him so much. He's a powerful man sometimes, without even realizing it. His sense of humor gets me out, you know, is what gets me through some dark times, because he's a funny guy. He's a funny guy! But anyways, a year ago I was going to Vancouver Island. We were traveling. And one of the big funny jokes that we'd make was Bigfoot was in the trees waiting for my aunt. That was her boyfriend. So it was like Bigfoot just kept coming up, and I couldn't understand until I was told that there's Bigfoot teachings. Bigfoot is on the Red Road journey. He's a powerful teacher. He's got teachings, and it's about time that people realize that Bigfoot. I know a lot of people, oh God, she's talking about Bigfoot. Yeah, guess what? Bigfoot exists. He's kept himself hidden away for a reason. But, and this came to me from good teachers. That's Laurent and Brenda. Bigfoot was hiding for years, and this prophesies that when Bigfoot starts to come out of hiding, he's got no choice now, because he's losing hiding spots. Our forests are being eaten up by fire, by clear cutting. We're losing our forests, so he's losing his homes too. And it's prophesied that when he starts to come out, that's getting closer to the end times, right? And I'm not saying this to scare the shit out of people either. Don't be scared about end times either. That's what one thing. You can't fear death. You can't. You can't, you can't, you can't. You have to accept it. It happens. It's a form of, it's a way of life. But in the end days, it was told that Bigfoot is going to come out of hiding because he's got no choice, because man is going to chase him out of his spots, and that's what's happening. But also remember that Bigfoot lived peacefully with our people years and years and years ago. They shared life, they shared their food, they shared water. It was a common knowledge. And I look at that as powerful spiritual teaching. I look at that, I'm so grateful that they taught me about that, because Bigfoot kept coming up and I couldn't understand why. Why am I seeing Bigfoot all the time? Like in the news or fucking on the internet, or someone would fucking mention Bigfoot, you know. And a lot of my brother and I have this thing that we do, or I liked, both of him and I will bug each other about, you know, Bigfoot. But when I got my cast off on my arm, because I broke my arm in January and I had a fucking cast that went up past my elbow. Well, I didn't know this, but man, I was growing hair on my fucking elbow. How do you grow hair on your elbow? Well, guess what? I did. I'm looking at it right now. I grew hair on my elbow. You're not supposed to have a hairy fucking elbow, but the big joke of it is, oh, you're Bigfoot. So I have to shave that arm down every once in a while, right? Because it gets a fucking 8 o'clock shadow, 4 o'clock shadow, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, man, I got hair on my fucking elbows. Because of a cast. And then it was explained, well, yeah, because your follicles stay dark and blah, 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 blah. And it's true. So my one arm gets a fucking 4 o'clock shadow, five. I don't know what the fuck kind of shadow, but anyways, I only have to shave it maybe once a week. When we got onto discussion too about shaving. No, you shouldn't shave. It's going to get worse. I wish I would have listened. But I do, I got fucking hair on my elbows. How do you figure that? Anyways, back to the Red Road teachings. Red Road journey. I shouldn't say teachings. Red Road journey. I love this. I love being on my journey. I love learning. I love listening. I love, you know, I love people. I don't like what this COVID has done, but hey, we're getting through it, right? But Sasquatch was about honesty. And so when we talk about Bigfoot, we talk about Sasquatch, it's important to be honest. But do it in a gentle way. You got to be gentle. You got to be more loving and understanding with each other. That I know, that's what I try to do. I try to anyways. I like to think that if anyone is listening, that they understand that sometimes when you're put in a situation, you're forced to react sometimes. But it's important to forgive yourself, not to dwell on it. And that's what, I think that's why I woke up peaceful this morning. A lot of inner forgiveness had to be done with myself. Because if I didn't do that inner forgiveness, and how the fuck am I supposed to forgive people? Or worse, how, you know, like, will they forgive me? And that's the genuine, that's why it's important to be genuine. You know, people make mistakes. Sometimes they make the same fucking mistake over and over and over and over again. And that's okay, as long as you're learning and recognizing that you're making that mistake, so you try not to make that mistake again. And realize that if you falter from that mistake, well, you pick yourself back up. You forgive yourself. You ask for forgiveness. Sometimes other people won't forgive you, and that's okay. That in itself is a teaching. But it's important to forgive. And I've learned that as a valuable lesson because I ask for forgiveness all the time. Because it's important to forgive. It's interesting because I've been doing a lot of research. Being a spiritualist, it's like I'm a sponge and I just want to soak up as much information as I can. Sometimes I can relate to it in a way because of personal experience. Sometimes I can relate to it in a way because of, you know, adding up, connecting the dots. But it's interesting because we have it in our bloodline. We have these teachings in our blood. That's why I believe in trauma being in the blood. What's happened to our ancestors, we feel it in our blood. And I know they did some scientific, I don't want to quote anything quite yet until I, you know, that's the thing, like, I want to be able to acknowledge where I get my teachings from too. And I mean, mine has been throughout my entire life. And man, I'm just so grateful that I was able to learn or to have those teachings, right? But to always be truthful. I always try to follow the seven keys on the red road journey, right? And again, that's love, respect, courage, honesty, wisdom, humility, and truth. I won't let anyone get into making me feel worse about myself, you know, because I'm my own worst critic. And there's some things I go through that people don't even know about because I don't put it out there. I just won't put it out there. That's between God and I. That's between God and I. And if there's things that I don't do, there's specific reasons for it, that's also between God and I. That's between God and I. Anyways, it's showing I've got 55 minutes left. Or I've been talking, sorry, for 55 minutes. It says the maximum recording time for segments is 60 minutes. Keep an eye on the clock. I will doodly and deedly. But I hope that I'm not boring people. I with these podcasts. But if I am, sorry. But if not, hey, I'm glad that, you know, one person listens. And I'm grateful for that. But I'm kind of getting the whole podcast fever. Why? Because I don't have to fucking get all beautified for it. I can just get up. I can even do it. I could fucking do a podcast as I'm sitting on my toilet, for Pete's. I could be sitting on my toilet right now. You'd never know. Until I flushed it, of course. But that's what I, you know, that's what I love about the podcast. Anyways, I hope everyone loves each other today. Remember, I love you. God loves you. You don't need to be religious to be a spiritualist. I know a lot of people think and get that confused. Oh, she's religious. No, I'm a spiritualist, man. There is only one God. Every other thing, you honor it, but you worship one God. Worship God. You honor everything else. Even Jesus, he was a medicine man. I swear he was. I know it. I can feel it. He was a powerful medicine man. But that'll be my next topic. I think I'd love to do is, you know, and I know it, again, the Bible again has been fucking changed a bazillion times. But you know what? I think there's a little bit of truth to the lies. That's the thing. There's a little bit of truth in everything. And the things that they, you know, maybe I'm wrong with it. I don't know. But I just got this belief that Jesus, because look at, he healed people. He used herbs and roots and everything, you know, to help heal people. I don't know if I believe so much that he turned water into wine. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. But who am I to judge and say that he didn't? Because, I mean, there's got to be something to it. Maybe they left out the part that he had grapes and a big bag of fucking sugar or something. I don't know. That book's been changed so many times. And no, I'm not. I don't go by the book. But it kind of gave me some answers a little bit to, you know, like, oh my God, that's what that means. Oh my God, I went through that. Oh my God. You know what I mean? So I think he was a great, powerful medicine man. I also believe that a lot of the tribes that they talk about in the Bible, those tribes are here in North America. The people that fled. I'm not saying that, like, that's why I'm going to save it for the next segment, the next podcast that I do, because I believe that the Gad tribe, Reuben tribe, all those, I believe that they're the people that we're in the Exodus. Anyways, I'm going to cut this at 59 minutes. You guys, much love and peace. Take care.